This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Seven after the hour. Hello. It's time for you to dial in the DJV program. We're here at your service. Jennifer Horn is at your service and on your side, as is Victoria Keelan and Jay Kirshner at the ready with our social media. Lots of people still focused. I think this will be clearly the number one story of the week when we get to reviewing things with the Talkers Magazine list, the Derek Chauvin. Well, it's not just the Derek Chauvin case. It's what's going on around it. A lot of black lawmakers, Jennifer, out on the stump, calling the conviction the right step in achieving justice. A lot of grandstanding going on here, that's for sure. And then there's meaningful conversation as well. So the issue is, or maybe the challenge is, to separate the wheat from the chaff and to get beyond a lot of baloney that's coming from politicians and that ilk, and a lot of people on radio and television as well who are full of their old, my father used to say, full of old shoes, which is, I guess I translate today into what comes out of the rear end of my cows. It's okay, how much conversation do we need to have about this? How much do we want to have about it? And I think maybe the most important thing from my perspective at the point where we are, is what will happen in an appeal. Is there any way, shape, or form that an appeal could be successful? Under what scenario could an appeal be successful? I think we've thought about this a little bit, and we've had pretty much all of us the same reaction, but we're not lawyers, we're not in the system, we just think, oh my God, look at this, it's so incontrovertible, how could they ever, you know, come up with an appeal? But stranger things have happened.
Well, I think that really it's not based on the evidence at all that they could apply for an appeal, and they will, I'm sure. Right now, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to have post-trial motions filed by the defense, and then eventually they will probably, I mean, we don't know that this is for sure, but we can imagine that they will try the appeal process. And the argument is not about the evidence that was presented or any of that. It's about what circumstances the jury was held under, essentially. There were a lot of people, and I think I'm pretty sure that we all agree that the jury should have been sequestered just to protect your verdict for this reason. It's mm-hmm. not about trying to change their mind or about trying to remove them from their lives, but it is difficult to appeal a ruling in this country, but it can be done based on outside influences. So here's what they're saying. They're saying that the settlement at the very beginning of the trial given from the city to the Floyd family, as the jury had just been seated, it was like $27 million settlement, that could have influenced the jury. The fact that the jury, because to come to work every day, had to go through an autonomous zone. Right across the street from the courthouse is George Floyd Square, which is this place that's been taken over, a street where he lost his life, and most of the jurors are traveling by that to get to their job every single day to sit on the jury. Does that impact their decision? The pressure from outside sources. It's not just Maxine Waters, but everybody who felt that if people were not hiding this, that if the jury, quote, reached the wrong verdict, they'd burn it down. And there was a real threat. I mean, we can't pretend that that didn't exist. People were saying that they were going to burn down not only Minneapolis, but American cities around the country. That's why most police departments were on tactical alert as the verdict was read, because there was that threat. So to what avail did that impact the jury? So after the post-trial motions, then what will happen is that the defense will hire, like, private investigators, and they'll go out and they will talk to members of the jury who will talk with them, and they'll say, did you feel any pressure to come to the verdict that you did? Now, everything's golden if they say no. It was the abundance of evidence. It wasn't anything about the outside. Then the chance for appeal is significantly decreased. But if they can find a juror, one of them, that's all they need, that says, yeah, there was some outside pressure, and yes, I was aware of some of these stories or some of these statements that people were making, that would provide the path forward for appeal for Chauvin. And it's not hard to imagine. I don't envy that job of that jury. No. It was ridiculously stressful. But what if they say, like, they felt pressure from other jurors? How does that work?
I'm sure.
I mean, any intimidation. I mean, that's the thing. Any intimidation, if a juror is ready to come forward and say, I felt intimidated to vote in a certain way, I think that that would probably be helpful to the appeal process.
Yeah. There's a lot of that stuff. You think about what the moving parts here, the pieces of the pie that have gone into creating the situation which we find ourselves discussing today. One of the things that I find, one of the great things about having so many people, Jennifer, Victoria, Jay, everybody brings a different message, a bit of different information, more so that it can be considered here. One of them, one of the bits and pieces over the last 24 hours that I saw was the footage of the death itself, and a statement by the police department that was very contrary to what has come out as the facts. And that report, when it was filed, has now been deleted from the police department. People say, where did that report go? Nobody seems to know. It was the original interpretation by the police of what really that footage showed. And so that's on the website.
I don't know where that went, but the most powerful, I mean, I don't even know if that matters. You had the chief of police in Minneapolis come out and testify that one of his officers went outside of their training and acted inappropriately and acted too aggressively. So I don't even know if that matters. If it's, I mean, who knows what the process is. When you have, I mean, that was one of the elements of the case. And I think maybe one of the most powerful, I remember we talked about it here, that was one of the most powerful pieces of testimony in my mind for the prosecution. Was the police chief who turns against one of his officers and the medical examiner who physically examined George Floyd. Those are the two people. I mean, anybody who had something to do with it, otherwise everyone else can be written off as a paid gun. And so I think that you had two really powerful pieces of evidence here. And just one more thing before we talk about the appeal. The thing that frustrates me so much is that, and this is what's frustrating. We have the justice system working here, right? I think there's not a person on the planet, I think, that would argue about the verdict or the outcome that the jury came to. But what can put that in jeopardy is all the stuff that people are saying running at the mouth, the Maxine Waters of the world, even President Biden. And this is where we talked yesterday, and I know, Victoria, you and I were like going back and forth about this. It's inappropriate to have these people who should know better, that they don't want to muddy the waters. Let this be a victory. Let this stand as a victory. Don't be self-sabotaging where something that you want, that you're celebrating, is going to be ruined because you can't wait 12 hours, 24 hours.
But it does matter.
The
Maxine Waters was so out of line. We agree on that. Maxine Waters was just, she was an idiot, and she was so out of line. She also had total wrong information about the first-degree murder charge. He wasn't even charged with that. She was moronic on a lot of levels. But with Biden, though, he specifically said he waited to comment until the jury had gone into deliberations. That is a technicality that a lot of lawyers have said that was the right thing to do if he was going to make an opinion. It had to be after the jury, after everybody had rested and the jury was deliberating. So he really can't be blamed and put in the same category as Maxine Waters.
There are a lot of people, though, who, well, it's, look, I don't think he's in the same category. He didn't break curfew and he didn't go out there asking them to meet a stipulation that they could never meet. But I think it was dumb for him to do that because it's just another piece of ammunition that can be used, because while the jury is sequestered, they still are talking to each other. They still are coming into contact with people at their hotel. They are still going in and out of a center every single day. The possibility that could somehow be corrupted when the President of the United States is commenting on your trial, it just didn't need to happen. And that's the point. It didn't.
Well, everybody should be quiet no matter what until this was all over. What I'm curious about now is whether that was part of everybody's regular routine before this all started. Has life begun to return to normal in Minneapolis? The businesses aren't worried about getting burned down. People are going back to their
old... No, I don't think so. It's still very hot there right now. I mean, you've got the Dante Wright shooting. People are saying that this verdict is not enough. I mean, I don't quite understand that point of view, but that's
not
what
enough.
People are saying. If you look at...
Well, meaning the work can't stop there, and I agree with that.
if you look at the George Floyd Square, apparently there's some special instructions for white people who enter the area. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see this, but if you're a white person and you want to go pay your respects to the place where George Floyd was murdered, there's a whole set of rules that you have to abide by in order to do that. So, yeah.
All right. So let's move.
It's more divisive, I think.
Yeah. There's a video, and there are 911 calls that are shedding new light on the police shooting of that youngster, the 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio, whether that just adds to the fuel to the fire. And then there's this North Carolina deputy who shot and killed a black man while he was executing a search warrant. Now there's an outcry from all the people down there. There were a bunch of people that gathered at the scene. They demanded accountability. And so this goes on every day. It's like every single day there's another person shot by a police person. And at some point, sensitivity gets in. Or is it just we're finding out that there are a lot of black criminals and they all, you know, the police think, okay, well the best defense is to shoot them.
This is what I was saying the other day, and that is that we're only hearing about, there's a lot of editorializing that's going on in the news media. They're only telling you about
certain cases anymore. It's not even the news media anymore. It's the opinion media. So where do we get our fact? You questioned that the other day. So we talk about the news, the talk radio countdown shows about the news talk radio discussions of the week. And yet, where do we get our news? And if somebody gets it from this source that's on the right, and another one gets it from that source on the left, so how the hell do you really know what's going on? Really and truly. I sometimes shake my head at the end of the day wondering, what was this all about? What did we really help people understand? And do we really know what we're talking about?
I use a lot of sources. I mean, every single day I go to, as far as TV news, I listen to MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News. I have to go to multiple sources when I'm looking at print and online sources. And then you have to read, you have to be smart and be a critical thinker. When you look at the story and you see how they're written, there's so much deception that's written into stories, and you have to be able to pick it out. And
you want to know
a lot of people have the full-time job to do that, you know?
Here's the latest one for you to think about, laugh about, whatever it is, and then we'll pause. The astronomical community, not the gastronomical, but astronomers, have found a new collection of black holes. And one of their group has said, well, maybe we shouldn't call them black holes anymore. We should come up with a different name instead of, because black holes is prejudicial. All right, there you go. Think about that one.
I mean, I understand, I respect that the person is trying to be sensitive, but, like, even black people would be like, come on, that's too much.
18 after the hour. Calotren, C-A-L-O-T-R-E-N.
This is really an easy way to just rev up your metabolism and turn your body back into that fat-burning machine that it used to be. There's no drugs in it. There's no stimulants in it that make it work really quickly. But our 90-day program does have a huge 86% success rate. So when you give it time to work, you're going to see the results, and you're going to feel better. And you're doing this safely with a product that is good for you. Even if you're on medications, even if you have health conditions, this product is really good for you. And if you have questions, we got a little chat on there. You can click the chat and then just ask us questions on there. You can also call us if you have questions too. Our number's toll free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS. We've got real live people right here in America to answer your questions. It's 1-833-TOP-LOSS. And again, the website is toploss.com. It's our buy three, get three free. So that's that proven 90-day supply. When you buy that 90 days, you get 90 days free.
Check it all out at toploss.com. At checkout, use the discount code DJV.
The weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance, lasting 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart.
These may be uncertain times, but what is certain is that every family needs a reliable thermometer. Protect your family with the Exogen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck. Or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Three at the hour on the DJV program. Doug, Jen, Victoria, Jay Kirshner here with What's Trending, What's Happening. Here's the L.A. Lakers superstar LeBron James making it to the top of the heap in this hour. Why is that, Jay?
Well, in a now-deleted tweet, he said, he tweeted out, all capital letters, you're next, with the hashtag accountability, including the a photo of the rookie police officer who shot the 16-year-old in Columbus, Ohio. He has since taken that down. So many people were looking at it as a threat, mm-hmm. and a firestorm arose on Twitter. People were coming at him, and he took that down, posted something new, and said that he's just so tired of seeing black people killed by police. Quote, unquote, I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's the entire system, and they always use our words to create more racism. I'm so desperate for more accountability. End quote.
I think that's...
And then he also added, anger doesn't do any of us any good, including myself.
Yeah. I mean, how are we not paying attention to the fact that this woman was knifing another black woman? Can we not say that this was...
Did you see the video of this, by the way? I saw the video last night for the first time.
Thing.
Did you see that?
That's where my question is, too. I mean, I feel like that police officer definitely saved the girl that was in
pink. Of course.
But yeah. I also have questions of, was there any scenario or any type of training that could have resulted in the other teen's arrest instead of her death? That's where my question is.
Right. It did not have to lead to her death.
Is that
this is an officer who is trying to save a life, and now people are marching against him. And LeBron James, who sits and supports the Chinese government that are killing people in concentration camps, comes out and wants accountability for this guy. It was just so
it's nothing
but tick people.
I want to know about that. What is he doing with the Chinese government?
He takes money from Nike from their Chinese contract with them, and he's made like $35 million
the NBA
this year alone.
In China.
China. So it's not China. Just LeBron.
But it's every player in the NBA. If he wants accountability for his officers, then I want accountability for the fact that he's taking money from a communist government. Then let's talk about accountability there. Why is he doing that? They're killing.
Why is the NBA? But the NBA wouldn't exist without that money. I mean, the NBA is. Oh, okay.
The NBA, look, Major League Baseball, football, all of these other sports, hockey, can all exist without taking money from China. The NBA can exist. You can't tell me that the NBA would not exist if they didn't take money from
China. It wouldn't have the profit margins that it has. I don't care if they ever played in China again. I don't care at all. But the NBA, which is a league that, you know, typically I think we tend to look favorably upon them. They don't allow anybody to kneel, so, you know, a lot of people are in favor of that. The NBA has everybody buttoned up for COVID. But, you know, for whatever reason, the NBA insists on having this contract with China because China brings in billions of dollars.
Well,
I didn't know that.
I guess that escaped my radar. Now that I hear that, I would want to.
They play exhibition games over there, and there's a big contract.
You know what? I don't want to do anything to help the Chinese government do anything. We shouldn't be taking this money.
It's not just Nike. It's any apparel company.
Are they making their shoes in China, Nike? Or are they making them in Vietnam?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Cambodia?
I don't know. But the Chinese
people. Did you say yes, Jennifer?
Yes, they're making. Nike makes their shoes in China, yes.
So why is anybody buying shoes made in China? Hello? Are you a good American? I think it's going to come down to...
I'm sure that we all have shoes
that are
made in
China. If you're a good American, you better not be buying stuff to help to the Chinese government.
Well, that's part of the problem, is we have to eliminate that connection, and the NBA is unwilling to do it.
Everybody wants to talk about who's a patriot, and they overuse that word, some of these phony baloney right-wing, they go, oh, I'm a patriot. Yeah, okay, what are you wearing on your feet? Oh, I got these great Nike sneakers. Where are they made? China. Yeah, you're a patriot? Bunk them. No, that doesn't hack it at all.
I just looked up the numbers. It's less than I thought, but one-third of all Nike shoes are made in China.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't wear any Nike stuff anyway, but sure as hell wouldn't wear it now. Then what about all the shirts, all the hats and everything else? Where's that made?
The Washington Post reports that the Uyghurs, which are the people who are put in concentration camps in China, are forced to work in that shoe factory that Nike owns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. There we go. Congratulations, those of you who have Nike.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A bipartisan bill aimed at addressing the southern border crisis will reportedly be introduced Thursday by Senators John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, and Kyrsten Sinema, the Democrat from Arizona. The bill would address the surge of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border, attempt to streamline migrant asylum claims in a timely manner, and deter those unlikely to be approved. One Border Patrol agent tells Fox News what needs to be done to fix the problem.
It starts with the President of the United States. He needs to prioritize his border, all our borders, and there's consequences for breaking our laws.
The record number of people attempting to infiltrate the United States has exponentially grown since President Biden relaxed most laws regarding illegal immigration through executive order. Senator Josh Hawley, the Republican from Missouri, introduced legislation for corporations that try to run our democracy. The Trust Busting for the 21st Century Act would ban all mergers and acquisitions by companies with a market value over $100 billion. USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
One border state governor is tired of waiting for federal help at the U.S.-Mexico border crisis. He's sending in the National Guard. Dan Rocky from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Arizona Governor Doug Ducey is calling on the Biden administration to declare a federal state of emergency on the border over an influx of illegal immigrant crossings. Ducey announced he was sending 250 National Guard troops to the border in his state to assist authorities who are stretched thin. The current conditions at the border have led Congressman Chip Roy to push legislation to the House floor to force the Biden administration to enforce one of President Trump's major border policies. The Texas Republican tells Fox News that he took the move because the White House has failed to do anything meaningful.
I filed a discharge petition of my friend Yvette Harrell's bill to require Title 42, the CDC's requirement and guidelines that we protect against the influx of pandemics into the United States, that we resume enforcing that, which the Biden administration has refused to do. So now we will force a vote on the floor of the House if we can get up to six Democrat colleagues to agree that we should secure our border and fight against the spread of the pandemic.
When Michigan's St. Clair County held a walk-in COVID-19 vaccination clinic last week with 1,600 shots at the ready, only about 800 people signed up in advance. A quarter of the available shots went unused. Tara Smith, an epidemiologist at Kent State University, says we're starting to hit a wall in some areas where most of the people who are anxious to get vaccinated have already gotten their vaccines, and the rest are either considering or have decided against it. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News. I'm Lance Pry.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is the big show. It's the DJV show with Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Jay Kirshner, and the biggest of them all is me. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm kind of being facetious. I'm reminded of, I was looking at some stories about Rush Limbaugh and how he was always over the top and how people liked it. And then when other people sort of take on that same persona, they don't like it. And it's the reason for that is simple, that one person should be identified as having one bit of talent or something that separates him or her from the rest of the crowd. And when other people start doing it or saying it, it becomes disingenuous. One person, especially in the radio world, the idea is to have unique personalities. The radio that I grew up with, Jennifer, the radio your father grew up with, Jay, the radio your father grew up with, it is, and I'm not excluding Victoria, but Jennifer's father's in radio,
no, my parents
Jay's
are
father's
music
in
people. They're not talk radio people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the idea of these personalities that were bigger than life, there was a documentary about Alan Berg, who happened to work at KOA in Denver. It's been on the air, a lot of the focus on skinheads and the Nazis and stuff, and so a lot of time is being spent on analyzing what the history is of those people in this country. And it happened that our own Bob Kay, Bob Klopfenstein, who's my general manager and overseer of all things Doug, was the program director of KOA in Denver when Alan Berg worked there. And he was killed by these people, who, because of his positions on the air. He was one of, and he came in an era when there were really unique people on the radio. I dare say there's very little going on in the world of radio that one would describe, use the adjective unique. There's so much sameness. It's the same lingo, the same talking points, the same baloney. So when something different comes along, like we, the people in the business, refer to this program as the other show, because it's not like everything else. We're all very individual. The fact that we collectively have all come together, because we are very unique individuals, but we all sort of blend well together. I'm not much of a person who believes in chance. I think that things happen because they're supposed to happen. Jennifer's here because she's supposed to be. Certainly Victoria is, and Jay. We're all blended. And I have been in this, the arena for 50-some-odd years, and I've always been considered someone who's on the outside, because I am different. I don't mind being different. The girls laugh about me. My daughter says, Daddy, you're so strange. It's okay.
I tease you a lot, but I love that you're different.
Well, but I don't want to. Who the hell wants to be like everybody else?
No,
I sure don't want to be. I don't want to sound like anybody else. I don't want to be looked upon. And that's the part of the business that I'm in now, that I've been in, that is so troubling, because if you don't sort of belong to the club, or you don't walk in lockstep with the ideas of the other people that may be getting air time or ink, and then you are considered an outsider, and, you know, it's dangerous to have somebody on who's different. Good God, where are we going? And a lot of that stuff plays on whatever it is we're talking about. You know, that I was criticizing politicians earlier for the way they're all in lockstep. Oh, yeah, this is just the beginning, the Derek Chauvin thing. You four-flushing phony BSers, you're just there because it's a way to get attention. The people working in the trenches to really have an impact or make a difference, nobody knows who they are. They don't know their names. They're just there working. And then you got these ridiculous people like Al Sharpton, just completely, just irresponsibly ridiculous. So anyway, I'm off on my tune. I've had that on my mind since looking at some of the responses, and it's not different.
To play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
How is Al Sharpton, how are you praising Rush Limbaugh for saying the most ridiculous, horrible, awful
things? I didn't praise
him,
no.
But you give him space.
I never said that. But
you give him space
He did a lot for the radio business, and he did a lot to get people to think.
Okay, but why wouldn't Al
Sharpton doesn't have an original thought in his brain.
Doesn't matter, though. He's still an over-the-top personality that people respond to. So why are they different?
You and I will differ. You and I will differ.
But I'm asking you, why is that different?
I just told you.
Sharp
He's a grandstanding phony.
And one of Rush Limbaugh wasn't? Well, I disagree with that.
Well, I know you do. And so the
but
argument
wait a second.
Will go no
Isn't
place.
It okay to have opinions about certain people? I mean, I think it just, you know, Doug's not saying that Al Sharpton needs to just go away or be silenced. Regardless of whether you're talking about, if you're talking about Rush Limbaugh or you're talking about Al Sharpton, both of those people said really crazy things that shocked a lot of people, and that's what they do. They are
provocateurs. That's my point, exactly.
And so, They're provocateurs in a way, and sometimes you're going to say, okay, are they, you know, maybe you can make an argument one is more damaging to another than another. Maybe you make an argument that one has more space than the other. In any case, it's not about censoring them, but I think, you know, you can call out.
No, and don't get me wrong. I didn't support, I let Limbaugh know this, I was very angry with the outcome of what he said about Sandra Fluke. It ruined my business. It ruined the business for a long time of talk radio, and he never took responsibility for it. Never said he was sorry.
And as a reminder, in case people don't know what that meant, he said all women who take the birth control pill are sluts and whores.
Yeah. And that changed.
You're supporting censorship, though. You don't like that your business.
No, I'm not.
Not because
listen,
your business.
I said
some on
the air in the last hour
that
some people will think is crazy.
Your business was not ruined because of Rush Limbaugh. Your business was ruined because of censorship. That's why your business was ruined. It wasn't.
Well, it was the way it was taken. Right? It was the way it was taken. Yeah, there's something to be said for that. That's a pretty accurate way of looking at it. But the other side of it, everybody looked to Limbaugh as a leader. And so when that happened and, you know, there was silence everywhere, there were some who thought
right,
that if he had
canceled.
Said something, it would have changed
but
the outcome of the cancellations from advertisers who didn't want to be associated with that kind of thing.
But the point is that you didn't say anything. You were canceled because you were on a radio station that Rush Limbaugh was on. So what really destroyed people's business is not what Rush Limbaugh said. It was people's overreaction to what he said. Right?
Yeah. I'd say it was an overreaction. Yeah,
of
I mean,
course.
He ought to be able to, even if he comes across as sounding like someone that came from the world of Neanderthals with a statement like that, it still is something that we cherish, that we love about our country, is that we can say, oh, we used to be able to say what we wanted to say, and it would the chips would fall where they may. You can't do
that
anymore. You can't
America's
do that
solution.
Anymore. Yeah.
America is the solution, not the problem. It's the people that corrupt it. So the fact is that in America we should be protected by saying whatever we want to say, no matter what side of the aisle we're on, we should have that protection. But it's we've come to realize that we don't.
There's way too much control on what people say and think, even though we all abhor. This is where it started. The conversation here started with the skinheads, me talking about what happened to Alan Berg in Denver, 20-some-odd years ago. And so, you know, that stuff is still alive and well, no question about that. All right, let's talk a little bit about this company in Connecticut that got $1 billion from the feds to supply an essential syringe for the vaccine rollout, but yet not one single syringe has been made. It hasn't had any approvals. It's just this company sits there with this money. So what did you find out about it, Victoria?
Well, I did not know about this story until you mentioned it. So NBC News ran with a story about exactly what you just described, that this company was awarded $1.3 billion.
Apiject, it's called.
Apiject.
Yep,
Apiject. They make pre-filled syringe. According to the NBC story, this company makes single-dose pre-filled syringes. The U.S. government has a contract supporting...
Like the type you get with your... you get a shot. It's pre-filled.
Right.
You take it out of the thing and stick it in your arm. Yeah.
Right. So Apiject has responded now to these reports because the NBC report came out and then other people picked it up. Apiject says, and I have no horse in this race, but this is their response, that they were not awarded $1.3 billion. They were awarded $138 million by the Department of Defense and up to $13 million by Health and Human Services. They also then say they do not make syringes. They make a system capable of making pre-filled syringes with
what?
The drug being filled. This is their wording. They don't make syringes. They make a system capable of making pre-filled syringes with the drug being filled at the same moment as the container in the pre-filled syringe. Yeah. Okay.
Whoever runs that company should run for office.
Yeah, this is good. This is a good press release PR.
Oh, my
God. So then they said that they are an on-demand manufacturing system. There is no inventory, so the pre-filled syringes are not missing. And they're referring to the where are the syringes. Pre-filled syringes are made and filled in one step. And then they say that they got that this is essentially that they've done everything they were supposed to do. It was delivered on schedule to serve America and the global need for vaccine injections. Essentially, they said a whole lot of nothing. We still don't really know what the truth is.
Yeah.
But they said that NBC made up all this and that they got the facts wrong.
Right. They did it for what reason? Why would they?
I love the line. We don't make syringes. We make a system capable of making syringes. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Like I said, whoever's running the company should be running for public office.
This is some good legal speak, yeah.
What's the story with the restaurant industry? Do we know now the rebounding is taking place, at least around where I am? And I know that looking at the stats here over the past year, the restaurant industry apparently has lost $250 billion. Not a quarter of a billion, but $250 billion. Yeah, a quarter of $1 trillion in sales.
Yeah.
And is it coming back? Are we transitioning enough? Are we redeveloping that business? Is it not hopefully like the theater business where we're losing some of the theater chains? I know a lot of local restaurants have collapsed. But then others have done very well with home delivery. They did a good job of marketing. They were smarter. They were better run. So are we rewarding the ones that didn't have good management by giving them more money? I guess that's one of the questions, because there's still money out there, you know. You can still get PPP loans. You can still get EIDL loans. And so how do you apply the thinking or the judgment on who gets the money after a year of understanding what it takes to survive and what happens if you don't have the management to survive or the wherewithal? A lot of it has to do with how much money you got in the bank. That's true. So I don't know where we all are.
You know, yeah, I don't know, and I don't think we're going to know what the real numbers are until, I would say, a year from now.
Maybe.
You know, next spring we might be able to look back on this year to see how 2021 really handled the restaurant business and what hand it dealt them. But the restaurants, I live in a tourist community in a little area where it's very touristy, and the restaurants, we're only at 50% capacity here in New Jersey, but the restaurants are at full capacity. So the restaurants that have stayed open seem to be, and you know, we are friendly with a lot of the restaurant people who are, you know, who own and work in the restaurants around us in our little village, and they all say business is booming at 50% capacity. So they're still not making as much of a profit as they normally would, but the lights are on and they're still able to pay staff. So That's a good thing.
And here's another wrinkle on the same thing. We talk about restaurants, and mostly we're talking about the city and suburbs and stuff. But as you know, I focus a lot of my conversation on the air here on this program because of my background as a farmer. But I also do a syndicated program that's on every weekend and a podcast called The American Family Farmer. And you can get the show on these many of the same stations that carry this program, but also podcast available every week at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. And one of the things that I see here that is important for us to understand is how much difficulty there is for people who are living in rural America to pay their rent, to pay their expenses, mortgages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, people think this is just the city problem, and it's not.
Yeah, no. Now, here in New England, where I am, I know there are a lot of problems with affordability, and this is the Federal Reserve Bank has come out with an overview of this and what it's going to mean to the economy as we move forward. When the government money dries up, Victoria's been saying this consistently, and she's right, there's going to be a real problem, it seems to me, in people being able to say...
To give full credit,
yeah,
Jen.
Well,
Jen has been saying that. I agree with Jen. So Jen said it first, and I agree with her. Yeah.
The moratorium, when it lifts, especially on renters, I think, is that...
Yes.
I mean, homeowners, there's a possibility that they're going to tack that onto the end of your mortgage, and they might be okay. But renters, I mean, think about the people who own property that are still having to make payments on it, not getting rent. They're going to be kicking people out left and right, I would imagine.
Yeah. I have friends in that situation in Manhattan, and the housing courts are now just filling up with motions to evict people, and so that's ready to go when the moratorium is lifted. And then there are renters who are filing other motions for a stay of execution again. And I don't know what the solution is going to be. I really don't.
I started terrible. 48 past the hour, folks.
This report is sponsored by National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a contractor to the Beef Checkoff. Beef is a staple on tables across the country, from comfort food favorites to the celebratory meal. Beef is what's for dinner. And even as the sustainability conversation increases and carbon footprint concerns make headlines, people can feel good about their favorite protein. The U.S. is the leader in sustainable beef production, with a carbon footprint 10 to 50 times lower than other regions of the world. In fact, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, greenhouse gas from beef cattle only represents 2% of emissions in the U.S. Cattle farmers and ranchers are producing more high-quality beef more sustainably than ever before. Jim Strickland, rancher.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Printing you new signs for the times.
Get back to business with custom printed signs and sales materials. Staples has hundreds of designs to choose from, or just upload your own.
And now at Staples, get 15% off signs, posters, or decals when you spend $75 or more.
Some items printed same day when ordered before 2 p.m.
Save big on custom printing at Staples.
Ends 5/29/21. Exclusions apply. Limit one offer per customer. See store associate or visit staples.com/signage for details.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
For Dr. Ken. Ken Kronhaus here from Lake Cardiology down in Mount Dora, Florida. Remember, you can reach out to him and connect with him, get answers to your questions at 352-735-1400. All right, so the first question has to do with what happens when you have had COVID. There are some people who are saying that I still feel badly. There are some common lingering symptoms after you've had a COVID attack. What are they? What should people expect?
Let's talk about long haulers syndrome, this has been called. And the treatment, the monoclonal antibody treatment, is effective against the variants so far. That's really good information. But there's this long haulers where you just continue to have some symptoms long after the time period you think you should have gotten all better. Here are the symptoms. Loss of smell, loss of taste, shortness of breath, and fatigue are the four most common symptoms that people report, Doug, 8 months after a mild case of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Approximately 1 in 10 people experience at least one moderate to severe symptom that negatively affect the quality of their life. So this is lingering symptoms in this study that appeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association this week. We know that in probably about 25% of people go into the hospital with severe COVID-19, they have lingering symptoms. But the news this week is that about 10% of people who have mild symptoms, almost minimal symptoms, you know, they think this is nothing, actually 1 in 10 of those have symptoms, loss of smell, loss of taste, shortness of breath, and or fatigue, at least one of them, up to 8 months after their mild case of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And even if you're young, previously healthy, a mild COVID-19 infection may result in long-term consequences. This was the conclusion of the report published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is just another reason to think about vaccinating, why I'm more concerned about the virus than I am the vaccine. Because a lot of people, young, healthy, getting mild disease, just thought, oh, this is nothing, we'll get over it. But now we learn that long haul is occurring 1 in 10 in people with mild, otherwise healthy, thinking this is a minimal illness. This virus is unlike any other respiratory virus we've ever seen. It's unpredictable. It's not friendly. We got to get rid of it. Get vaccinated unless there's a reason. Talk to your doctor if you have any concern about it. I just tell you, I got mine. My daughter got hers this week, her first shot.
All right. Next up in the question board, the question, you're a cardiologist, so what's this deal with widely used blood pressure medicines and they're raising the risk of skin cancer? That seems like kind of a strange combination.
Right. This comes out of the Canadian Medical Association Journal this week that most people are familiar with common sun protection advice, Doug, at least down here in Florida we all are,
yeah.
From wearing and reapplying sunscreen to putting on a hat. But this new study finds that for people who take thiazide diuretic blood pressure medications, this is just one type of the many different classes or families of medications that we have to choose from to treat people with high blood pressure. This is a diuretic. It's a specific type of diuretic called a thiazide diuretic. HCTZ, hydrochlorothiazide, is the most common one. And the advice about protecting yourself from the sun becomes even more critical because thiazide diuretic blood pressure medication can increase your sensitivity to the sun's harmful ultraviolet rays.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's a word to the wise. You know, I've got a few seconds left here. Somebody wanted to know why the number of people who have overdosed has increased during the pandemic. Why would people be going back to opioids?
Well, multiple reasons, but certainly depression, stress, anxiety is super high right now because of the pandemic, and the mental health profession right now is so overly busy right now, and this would be my first reason to think about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's lots to think about. Exercise, getting through. A lot of people are concerned about not having, they don't have the energy they used to. Maybe it's something you create on your own. Think about it that way. Dr. Ken Kronhaus here with Doug Steffen on DJV Health.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.